Study prayer at 6:30 on Wednesday night. 7 to 8 is Bible study. Thursday choir practice across the street, 6:30 to 8. Please come. Tuesday, 7 p.m., creating cards with Karen in Mickey's room. 7 to 8, Thursdays, healthy living with the Daniel Plan. Is that still happening?
I think that we've culminated two whole sessions, so unless we find new interest. We've certainly started up again, but as of now, we really don't need to continue it. Until further notice.
Okay, so scratch this Thursday and hang on for. But if anybody's interested, it's a great study, and I've lost 5 pounds, in case you haven't noticed. And other people have lost weight too, not just me. So thank you. Of course, I'd like to lose a few more.
Karen wanted to let you know that the creating cards is on the 18th. It's going to start this
Tuesday. Oh, I'm sorry. Creating cards starts on the 18th of August. So don't come this Tuesday, you'll be disappointed. Okay, please, everyone, all members, or even if you just want to hang out and eat and hear what we do, our annual meeting will be following the worship today. And then on the 23rd of August, we have our outdoor service baptism church picnic, so please come for that. And then we'll have another baptismal service on September the 6th. Are there any other announcements?
You might have noticed that the sign over there says Shares Fair October 3rd. Below that sign, we're going to have some cork board or something for people to post classified ads. If you have a big item that you want to get rid of, like a sofa, Judy, just post a little card, like maybe a 3x5 card with your phone number, and then people can connect. Likewise, if you're looking for something, you could post it there.
That's a good idea.
Anybody else? No? Okay, so our prayer request, prayers of joy for Barbara and Jack as they start their new marriage together. Prayers for Alma and Charlie's apartment search. Prayers of joy for Nathan and his family as he recovers from surgery. Continued prayers for Riley, Ron Weston, Jane McCollum, Warren Merrill, Jack's brother Terry, baby Luke, Roger Kerboy, Franco, the Reverend Bob Wellner as he battles cancer, for Maya, Priscilla Varney, Alma's sister as she's in hospice, prayers for all of our people waiting to be baptized, and is anyone waiting to be married? If you are, we'll pray for you. Prayers for people who are married. Prayers for everybody for their reports in our meeting today. Anybody else? Okay, Faith?
Just an update today, did get a surgery day. Thursday is Thursday.
This Thursday?
Okay,
great. Yes.
Yeah, my oldest brother, Pat, who you met, came here for Strawberry Festival. He lives right not too far from here. He's going up for, I don't know the date, for triple bypass surgery. And I didn't know, he just shared that with me, so I'd like everybody to pray for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can do that. Jeannie?
My prayers of joy that my sister and her husband arrived here safely. The flight was perfect, very, uneventful. We just went beautifully. So I want to thank you for your prayers on that. And continue prayers as they, get used to where they are. And so, but thank you.
Prayers for Art. He's having some tests on his heart. This week, Art?
No, he has to wait.
Oh, you got to wait
for results.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to ask for prayers for this older family. They lost John's older this week in an accident up in Alaska.
What's the last name?
Zollner. Zollner.
Terry, I've got Ben Buckland was here and preached. He's a young guy going to the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
Ben sent me an email and says, as of yesterday, I finished my work officially, and along with this picture, which is of his horse. Ben's a horse trainer, and he had trained horses. He sold his horse, getting ready to go to the Middle East, and he got a picture of his horse, and he says, this Cherokee, a horse I trained and sold, after I had used in Civil War, war reenactment, has a new owner who loves her dearly. And he writes, God has been so amazing, not only in providing the means to go, but by the generous people who have donated their time and work in fixing my truck, giving food, and he puts in parentheses, nothing that I take lightly, a doctor providing free health care, and by this grace I have hit the mark. I am ready and poised to go forward as part of God's team. On Sunday, I'll be leaving to attend a Northeastern intern briefing, and on the Tuesday we leave, the team departs for the Holy Land. It cannot be expressed how thankful I am for your prayers and financial partnership as God missions comes together. It comforts me in knowing that when leaving, many of you will keep me in prayer. I know that eternal fruit abounds to great numbers. Please keep in mind the amount of traveling I'll be doing with my team over the next 2 weeks. I thank you for your devotion and prayer. I look forward to updating you next month. And his love, Ben.
Oh, amen.
Good young man.
So we'll keep Ben in our prayers too. Okay, if you're able, please stand for the call to worship.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
It's good to have you all gathered here together in God's house. Come together today, and this is a day where we celebrate the past year, the work that has been done. We take time to look at reports. And annual meetings, we have them, and folks come, and a lot of folks will say, well, let's get this over with. Let's just knock this off. And you don't realize the amount of work that goes into each report. That report represents a year's worth of work. It represents a year's worth of dedication and devotion. And it represents a year's worth of activity and accomplishment. Because you can be busy, busy, busy and never accomplish anything. But we are blessed here to be difference makers and not just participators. So as we gather today, I am blessed, and you're going to see today different people do different things. Betty's going to deliver the message. Karen's going to do the kids' service. Charlie's going to do the anthem. You're going to see people utilizing God's talents to glorify God, to step up and say, I can, rather than saying, I'll watch. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Charlie's wife just gave me a piece of material that came from her mother's Bible. It's called the Dash. And Betty, it kind of goes with the information that I use on people that pass away with their beginning date and their end date and that little dash in the middle. And I'm just going to read part of it. It says, I read of a reverend who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came her date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said that what most mattered most was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent on earth alive. And now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think long and hard about these things, things you'd like to change, or you never know how much time is left. You could be at the dash mid-range. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the only day that you have. This is the only time and the only moment that you have is the moment right now. This could be the most important time of your life if you're really not committed, if you really haven't taken that step forward to dedicate yourself and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This could be the most important day in that little dash in your life. Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us mightily. Thank you for a great nation that allows us to assemble openly and freely. Thank you for warm weather, Lord. We've been doing this for a while, Lord, and you have blessed us with weeks worth of good Sundays. I don't remember another year where we've done Sundays back to back to back out here so that we could represent you at the crossroads of a little town, at a crossroads where people come and go, where folks can see the opportunity to serve you, Lord, and the opportunity to share with like-minded Christians. Bless us, Lord, as we go about your business this day. Lift us up and heal us if we need healing. Comfort us if we need comforting. Help us, Lord, to see your vision and your face. Help us to take the opportunity to walk through whatever door you open for us. Help us not to hesitate, Lord. Help us to walk through that door and do your work. And now, Lord, as we prepare for service, we gather together in the prayer that your son Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Continue service with 242 in the garden. All three verses. 242 in the garden.
I come to the garden alone while the dew. We'll be right back.
their singing and the melody that he gave to me.
That's a song that a lot of folks like. It was my mother's favorite song. One of those things where, you know, and I know a lot of other folks enjoy the verses.
Yeah, I know.
Ushers are going to come forward now. I encourage you always to share from your abundance. And we are so abundantly blessed. This weekend we did the farmer's market. Barbara and Jack's wedding was going on. The firemen were doing a fundraiser for the chicken barbecue. And they all went well.
Amen.
They all went well. Because we are abundantly blessed. We are blessed and blessed mightily. We're a small but elite fighting force. We're a powerful fighting force. And it's due to the dedication and the prayer power of the warriors. As the ushers come forward, Charlie's going to lead us in singing a hymn called How Great Thou Art. Art Kibbe thinks this is about him. It's really not. But he likes to think that. How Great Thou Art had its beginning in 1885 in southern Sweden, the home of its author and Swedish preacher by the name of Carl Boberg, who, like me, was 26. I've been that a couple times. Boberg said of his writing of his song, it was 1885, and in the time of the year where everything seemed to be in its richest coloring. The birds were singing in the trees wherever they could find a perch. And on a particular afternoon, friends and I had been to Kronobäck, where we had participated in an afternoon service. As we were returning, a thunderstorm began to appear on the horizon. We had to hurry to shelter. Thunder pealed in loud claps and lightning flashed across the sky. Strong winds swept over the meadows and billowing fields of grain. However, the storm was soon over and the clear sky appeared with a beautiful rainbow. After reaching my home, I opened the window towards the sea. There evidently had been a funeral because the church bells were playing a tune of a hymn. That same evening, I wrote a poem in which I entitled, O Store God, How Great Thou Art. Would you sing the chorus with Charlie and the gospel group? They'll lead you, and Charlie will sing the main verses. The ushers will receive the morning offering.
It's page 21.
Oh Lord my God, when high in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Birds sweetly sing in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sins. Praise God! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart when I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Amen. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Ready, see. Sorry about that.
Father, we come before you each week. Father, we come before you humbly, we come excited, Lord. We come because we have the opportunity to return to you just a small portion. For you give us so much, Lord. Each day you allow us to draw breath. You allow us to step up, Lord, and be the warrior that you had in mind. We ask God that you bless these gifts as well as the giver, that you utilize them to expand the ministry, to help us to carry more of the battle, Lord. Help us to expand our lines. Help us to touch those that have never seen your face or heard your voice. We lift these gifts up to you through your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now you might all be seated. Hey, Hank and Betty. Betty, come back here. Don't be running away. Betty's going to be up here preaching in a couple minutes. But Hank and Betty, you've been married how long?
45 years.
Amen. That's pretty cool. Give them a round of applause.
Good job, man.
Good job, Betty.
Equal opportunity time. Prayer time. Opportunity to come together and talk to God. Opportunity to lift up joys. Opportunity to lift up concerns. Opportunity to share, and to hear God's message for you. Because God's got something to say to you every day. This may be the first time that you've been outside where it's quiet. Might be the first time that you've been together with like-minded Christians where you can actually take the time to hear God's voice, to hear that special message that God has for you. So join with me as we gather together in prayer. Father, we lift up all the folks on our prayer list. We lift up Ben as he prepares to go do your missions work. We lift up all the folks that need healing. We joyfully lift up Barbara and Jack, Lord. What a great wedding they had. We're thankful for their new marriage and pray for their walk and their family. We pray that their example will guide other folks to take the step, Lord, and become married and become a role model to children and grandchildren across the world. We pray, Lord, for all of our cancer warriors that are continuing to fight the fight. We're thankful, Lord, that Jay finally got a doctor's appointment. It's been a long time, Lord. We pray that his surgery goes well. We lift up Charlie's brother, Pat, as he goes for bypass surgery. We lift up him and the doctors, and we lift up all the doctors that treat everybody. Art's gone for some tests. We've got other folks that are been going constantly for tests. We ask, Lord, that you lift them all up, that you be with the doctors and nurses that you treat as they treat them, that you provide them wisdom. We pray for Kit. As Kit battles to lose weight and go for therapy, that he will put the extra effort in, Lord, that he'll step up like a warrior, that he will do the hard things and help to rebuild and recreate himself. We're thankful, Lord, for all the folks that are staying for today's meeting. Those folks that stay will be blessed not only with the work that has occurred in the past year, but the opportunity to step up and be a part of the work that's coming up for the following year. Bless us, Lord, as we go forward each day. We thank you, Lord, so much for a nation that allows us to assemble openly and freely. We pray for our servicemen and women that are spread around the globe, that you hold them safe in the palm of your hand, that you walk with them and that you be with the families that wait, Lord, and you return them as soon as possible back home where they can continue to be of service in your God's army spread across this nation and around the world. And now, Father, we add our own individual prayers.
Father, thank you for this gorgeous, beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for all the days. Give us, please, Lord, lead them all forward.
Father God, Lord, thank you for this church, and thank you for being able to have the honor to sing my mother's favorite song, also in the garden, and my father's favorite song. And they were watching from the congregation above, and I know they're pleased. And the best good news is that I know that they're together in heaven. Because it says whosoever, and thank God that they cried out to you and are now in heaven, and bless the rest of this day and everything we do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be outside today. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come up here today. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day, Lord. Thank you for this great country we live in, Lord. That you bless us today, Lord. Pray for revivals, right, to run across America, oh Lord, that more people turn their hearts to you, Father God, and start filling up all these little churches, Lord. Pray for Betty, Lord, that you anoint her with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and she preaches a mighty message, Lord. You bless her and Hank, Lord, for many years together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We pray for Nicholas and for all of our seniors here, Father. I pray for the community and we know that you have servants and Christians for the presence of mind and the desire to do your will and to help our seniors here, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for this beautiful day, Lord.
Lord, I'd like to thank you for Luther Donnie's arrival, and I pray that you continue to bless them. I'd like to lift up the Walden family.
Good morning, Lord. Thank you for the gift of this day. I too want to thank you for their good, for my sister's good flight, and I just pray that you continue to bless them as they settle in and get things organized and all the things she has to do. I looked at Charlie Roy too today. I just pray that you help him to get stronger and to get stronger and to feel your presence with him. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here tonight in the church and the church and the
church. Father, I ask blessings on this little church and my family. I thank you for the gifts that have been serving them. I pray that I continue to have the patience to accept your will and to follow your plan.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we come before you in the quiet. We come and lift up prayers, spoken and unspoken. We lift them up to you knowing that you're a God that waits with anticipation, that's excited to hear our voice, that wants to be a part of each and every one of our days, that wants to share in our decision process, that wants to rejoice when we rejoice, that wants to be the God that comforts us when we need comfort, wants to be with us always, each and every day. And so, Father, we lift up all these prayers to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Children's time. And Mrs. Jetty, would you come up with the children?
Yeah, you got
it. Terry?
Anybody else come up?
Jane?
The Daniel Plan members really appreciate that you have led us and been such a good example for us all. and done wonderful. Dale was like the star of Daniel Plan. He's gotten so healthy and even more active and everything. He thought maybe sugar-free chocolate. Staying away from chocolate, so, or sugar, so he thought maybe that would be good. We appreciate you very much.
Her dedication, I mean, every week she was there, every week, and right from her job, she would go home, she would go right to the set up the video that we watched, and she would get it all prepared for us, and she was very, very, very dedicated.
She did a great job, and we appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Say most of the people are. Nobody can come back at 29. She's saying 19. You think anybody's
right.
Over 20? Even many people over 30? If you over 40 or 50? You see grown ups or children? When God takes a hold of them, He looks at them and you as His children. They aren't really the parents, although they are the children of God, and they're part of God's family. Now, as part of God's family, do you expect that God is ever going to say, "Oh, you think God would ever do that?" No way. So God doesn't want you to do that either. He wants you to understand that all of these people, no matter how gray their hair is or wrinkles or how tall they are or how short they are, they're still children. And so this is going to be really fun for you. You have to look at your parents and imagine them as you should. So in God's house, they're the same of you, although they're not crazy. We'll work on that. Jesus, I thank you that we are all your children. Lord, I ask that you would help us to remember that you never deny us and that we would never deny you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Am I reading only one verse?
Yes.
It's Luke 4, not Luke 14.
John 14.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's John 14. Hold on. No, it's Luke 4.
Luke 4.
24.
Luke 4.
That was just payback, Ben.
I know. That's okay. I can go with it.
I tell you this, Jesus added, prophets are never welcomed in their own hometown. Is that all I'm reading?
That's it.
No?
Yes, that's good.
That's good.
Okay. All right.
You folks that have been with me for quite a while know that I am led by God. And I really believe that. And Betty put me to the test one day. I had Betty as my scripture reader, and I'm sitting there, and she's reading scripture, and she's doing a fine job, except it's not the scripture that I've picked out. And so I'm trying to catch up with her. I'm trying to, see what scripture she's reading. And so we went through I let her run through the whole scripture, and God blessed me with the opportunity to find the scripture that she had read and tie it back into the sermon.
Yeah.
And so I thought that I'd just change your scripture up a little bit, Betty, for today for you.
God has a sense of humor.
I certainly hope so.
Look at us.
That's it. We're going to continue worship with 782, Come Share the Lord, first and last verses. 782.
share the Lord.
Please be seated.
Ma'am.
Can everybody hear? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. First of all, I wanted to tell you that the bulletin has printed footprints, and no one knew except my husband, Hank, that I mentioned this poem in my talk today. So God really does focus on what we're doing. Amen.
Amen.
American greeting card companies have made a fortune with the home theme, and we all buy into it. What does the thought of home conjure up in your mind? It's different for all of us, but don't we really all want those Hallmark moments? I'd be the first to admit that when that commercial comes on and the family gets woken up by the college student or the military guy making coffee in the wee hours of the morning, I tear up. Since both of my parents are gone, things aren't the same. Somehow I feel like an orphan, and the next generation of old people is me. Those little girl Hallmark moments are very, very far away. I love to visit with George because George shares good old day stories about my dad, and I have a kinship of closeness with him. You see, George and my dad were great friends, and he gives me a wonderful gift every time we're together. When God created Adam, the NIV Bible in Genesis 2:20-22 says, "But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman to help from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to him." Continuing on in verse 24, he says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh." This was the makings of the first home. Now, Eden was a beautiful place with no worries, no jobs, just peace, joy, and contentment, and only one rule. Then what happened? They screwed it up. They sinned. They were banished from the garden. I bet there were many times in their life that Adam and Eve looked at each other and said, "Boy, wouldn't it be nice to go home? Wouldn't it be nice to go back to that garden again?" I wish that everyone had an Eden experience, a time and a place where they felt completely safe and loved. But that's not always a reality. When we're young, no matter what our life is, we fight to keep what we know. Children who are abused often opt to stay in the same house. Even if they are asked over and over again, they choose to go back into the same situation, because they feel a sense of misguided love or security. It isn't until we're older that we rationalize or assess to realize that maybe those places or those people were bad for us. We heard this morning in Luke 4:24, Jesus tells us that even he was rejected when he went back to his hometown in Nazareth. He said, "I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." So what is so important about home? Psychologists tell us that we're products of our environment. That if you take two identical twins and raise them in two different homes, you'll produce two very different people. We have a plaque that someone gave us a long time ago that says, "Home is where the Air Force tells you it is." And that was our case for many years. Those of us who thought we were fortunate enough to grow up in a wonderful, stable home can look back and see that perception is not always reality 100% of the time. We remember our parents' faults or frailties. We relive the times our siblings picked on us, or the times we got in trouble for something we did or didn't do. And then we look at our own frailties, the times when we should have been more patient, the times when we should have kept quiet but just had to get that last word in. This must be closely related to the remorse that Adam and Eve felt. They didn't mean to cause all that trouble. They just didn't think. Their plan seemed to make more sense than God's plan. How many times do we do the same thing? We know we're right, and we'll fight to make it happen our way. Home is a place of learning. Now I want to talk to you about the parable of the lost son. He spent his entire inheritance and then went back home. His father welcomed him. I never really understood that. It seemed to me that the other brother had every right to be angry, didn't he? After all, wasn't he doing the right thing? And his brother had thrown away everything. Why was his brother being honored? He worked hard and did what was expected of him. So what's up with that? His father was so happy he actually rewarded this loser for coming home. But I think I finally figured it out. You see, this story, this time, isn't about the one who did right. It's about the one who was lost. Jesus does that a lot. He uses things we don't expect to teach us. The wanderer finally realized that even the servants at home were being treated better than he was. So where did he want to go? Back home. Back to what he knew, the familiar. I submit to you that this is about every one of us. We are all wandering around doing what we think is right, and eventually we get to the place where we all just want to go home. Get back to where we're familiar, to where we're comfortable. The lost son teaches us that we need to humble ourselves, own up to our sins, and go home. Now, how can that be, you ask? Maybe your parents are gone, the house is sold, there are new people in town, even the church is different. Well, I'm not talking about that home. I'm talking about finding a place, a home, that God has for us. How do you do that? Well, the scripture tells us that Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." We know that the way to the Father is through the Son. Tell him, "God, I'm lost. Please, Jesus, come into my heart. I need to come home." Remember the old adage, "Home is where the heart is"? It's that simple. Put your heart where it belongs, in God. A few years ago, we moved back to Wales. Most of you know that this town and this little church have always been where I consider home. I came back here to get back to the place that I was familiar with, that I thought I knew. I was sure it was going to be a place of acceptance and security. I wanted things to be the way they'd always been. I gave it 100%, jumped in with both feet because I knew I could get us back to the good old days. Yay! See?
Struck a chord with that, right?
Absolutely. Somebody's alarm is going off. To a town and a family that lived around me.
Bring this on.
It's okay. Don't get excited. Now you set off another one. Yay!
No. It was the Joker.
There we go. What did I say? God has a sense of humor. Isn't that amazing?
Those are the horns of glory.
And I was nervous, right? That's the way it goes. Anyway, let me get back. I wanted to be where things I thought I knew. To a town where my family lived around me, where I was taken care of, and where I was accepted for who I was. This place I knew, where I wanted to make a difference, where I wanted to be important. Only I was willing to work for it, give to it, but it never seemed the same. It just didn't happen. Did you notice all those eyes? It wasn't until I let go of what I thought was important and listened to what God thought was important that I could really find what I was looking for. Coming back to Wales was definitely a learning situation for me. It was hard. It was painful. I felt rejected and unfulfilled, and then a light bulb went on. I realized none of this was about me. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that God has a plan for us. He knew what was best for me, but I wasn't listening. Hello, it wasn't my plan. I didn't get it. Just like the good brother, I was working and giving and doing what I thought was right, but guess what? It wasn't about me. I needed to learn. To humble myself and to let go. Today you are having your annual meeting. There's a lot of important things that you need to decide. I remember a few of those meetings when I thought it was more important to have things my way. I wasn't listening to God's plan. I don't even know if I asked him what his plan was. And I apologize for those times. But I want you to know nothing was ever done with malice. It was just another time of painful learning for me. I want to tell you about one night when I was at my wit's end, and through my tears I said, Lord, I can't do this alone. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I heard a voice say, you are not alone. I am with you always.
Amen.
And my arms went around my body, and I knew at that moment that God was holding me up. Remember the footprints? You have it on the front of your bulletin. I knew that I was being carried. Since that time, when things get tough, I remember you're not alone. I'm with you always. No human being can be to us what God is. Amen. I have lived all my life, adult life, being one flesh with my husband. But even he can't give me everything I need. And until I realized that, I was not a very happy person. You have to commit yourself totally to God's service, to acknowledge that he has a plan for you, and to listen to his words, or you will never be 100% fulfilled. The hard part comes when you learn to humble yourself and say, not my will, but yours. I thought I had it figured out. I was baptized, a member of the church, a doer of good deeds. The things I did were for good reasons, and I thought they were important. Maybe in the scheme of things they were good, but they weren't part of God's plan for me. And again, I was disappointed by my human contacts because no one seemed to understand me. I was trying, but I was never fulfilled. I was lost. You see, home isn't a physical place. It isn't a Hallmark card or a beautiful lakefront house. It is where you go to be with God. And I'm here to tell you that you can keep searching all your life for a comfortable home or to remake all of those memories, but you will never find what you are looking for until you let go and let God. Amen. I stand before you to say that once I chose to let God work in my life, I'm on a whole different path. I almost can't keep up with myself. I realize with his strength and guidance, things happen. I have to keep me reminding myself that it's not about me. It's about him. Put yourself in his hands because he has a plan for you. He wants you to be happy, to be secure, and to be loved. Trust that. In the next couple of weeks, some people are going to be baptized. They've found it. They are going to the Father through the Son. They are publicly acknowledging that something is different in their life. Whatever answers you are looking for, God has them. It might take a complete overhaul to find them, but he's there waiting for you, I guarantee it, and you will be amazed. A few years ago, if you had told me that I was going to graduate from college at 61 years old, write a book, and become an associate pastor of a large Florida church, I would have not believed you. It was beyond what I thought was possible for me to accomplish. But you know what? I didn't need to believe it. I didn't even need to dream it because it was God's plan. All I had to do was let him take over. It wasn't easy. There was a lot of hard work and lots of bumps along the way, but he knew where I was supposed to be. And he says that he will never give you more than you can handle. Life is a work in process. We need to keep learning, to keep humbling ourselves, and to keep confessing our sins. I have come home to the only true home, to the arms of God, and he is waiting for you. I urge you today, wherever you are, let go of whatever stresses you out. Find a quiet place to talk to Jesus and let your best friend put his arms around you. Let him take you to the place that you need to be. Your job doesn't stop there, but you will find peace. Stay in his word. Do a daily devotion. It doesn't have to be a long one. At first, read a verse or two of the Gospels, the Proverbs, or the Psalms. There's always something you can learn, no matter how many times you read the same thing. Stay in the word. Surround yourself with Christian friends and Christian music. Invite him into your world, and it will become second nature to let go of the things of this world. Live with him in security and love. Never forget that you are not alone. Just call his name, and he will carry you through. Listen to his plan, and let him be in control. And as Joel Osteen said, he's going to take you to places you can only imagine. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Truly is the day that the Lord has made. You've been blessed by not a sermon, but a testimony. You've been blessed by God's word to back that testimony up. This is the day. You may not have another day. You may not have another minute. If you want to maximize your opportunity, if you want to be what God intended for you to be, this is the day. Father, we thank you for Betty. We thank you for her words of wisdom. We thank you for her testimony. We ask, Lord, that you make us truly warriors, that you give us the opportunity to stand up, to move forward, to be a participator and not a spectator, to truly come home to be with you, Lord, to set aside what we think is right and hear your voice, to do the things that are hard that you have us to do, the things that are impossible that you offer us, to take us to places that we never thought we could go, Lord, but will go with you. Lift us up, make us more than we thought we could be. Bless us and bless us, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. All of us.
Amen.
Hymn number 441.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the eternal throne. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, now and forevermore. May we all find a home in his bosom and peace with his plan. Amen.
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 Break for bathroom, food, and that type of stuff. Then we will reconvene here and do God's business. Amen.